Hello and welcome to the Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's podcast is sponsored by SoapEquipment.com. Did you know if you're making cosmetics on a small scale, there's a company out there that can supply you with the manufacturing equipment you need to expand your business without breaking the bank? That's right, you can get more information from Ron Jonas and his team over at SoapEquipment.com. Well, you know, this is an exciting time for us to be living in. And here at the Indie Business Podcast, we share all of the empowering information that you need to sort of take a look at the big picture and pare it down and slice it and dice it in a way that can help you incorporate it and leverage it to succeed as a business owner and also as the leader of your business. And today, of course, is no exception. We've got a wonderful guest today. Her name is Marcia Connor, and she is the author of the brand new book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. Marcia is a partner with the Altimeter Group, and she helps companies and industries leverage disruption to their advantage. And, of course, in this economy and in this world today, we are surrounded by disruption, so we need to learn how to leverage those and make them work for us. Marcia applies her experience from across disciplines to accelerate collaborative culture, workplace learning, and social business. With a focus on Enterprise 2.0, she founded the Twitter chat, IRN Chat. She also writes the Fast Company column entitled Learn at All Levels, and she is a fellow at the Darden School of Business. Welcome to Indie Business Podcast, Marcia.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for that great introduction.
And for those of you who are listening live, or even if you're listening to this show on iTunes, or if you're streaming it or downloading it online, you can follow Marcia on Twitter at MarciaMarcia.com, which is a Twitter name that I just love because I am a Brady Bunch fan. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, Marcia, but it is so memorable, and I'm so excited to have you. That Twitter name makes me smile.
Good. I figured I heard it for enough years of people saying, every time I hear your name, I think of Marcia Brady, that I might as well just embrace it and learn from it and live with it.
Well, it certainly is memorable, and I know your book talks a little bit about how to make things memorable for our customers and other stakeholders. So, Marcia, let's just pull out a little bit, though, at first. I want you to tell me and my listeners a little bit about you and who you are and how your business works, and just, you know, what do you think of all this new social economy and new social learning and things of that nature?
While I have been a business leader for most of the 20 years of my career of heading very large organizations and working with very small organizations, I am first and foremost a learner, somebody who just gets excited about what I am learning every day, what I am sharing with other people, what they are teaching me, and how together, based on what we can learn together, we can do anything that we set our minds to in a bigger and better way, because together we are more powerful than any one of us alone. From my work, say working with organizations such as Microsoft and PeopleSoft, the UN and CARE, both on the for-profit side and on the for NGOs, I have found that people are at the heart of how work actually gets done. And while we may have complicated organization charts and policies and procedures, what really happens is those moment-by-moment conversations, either around the water cooler or even in the hallways. And the more we do not leave our personalities, our lives, our loves in the car, but we actually bring in our passion and our full self into the workplace and be engaging with the people around us, the more apt we are to succeed, no matter the size of our organization or even the type of work that we do each day.
Now, Marcia, it seems to me, too, that what you just described in terms of employees and workers at larger companies is really transferable to small and independent business owners who may not have a large staff, but who find themselves using technology to interact with dozens, maybe even hundreds of people every day as it concerns their business.
Well, that's the thing. In the past, the technology that has been available that can connect people to one another has been big and cumbersome and expensive. And frankly, even when you did pay those prices and you did work with them, they were still very hard to use. What a great day that we've arrived in, that there is light, often free, easily accessible tools available to organizations of every size, of individuals running their own organizations, or even small to mid-sized businesses, where you can either buy or even just sign in for freemium, is the word, software, where you're able to collaborate with your coworkers, with the ecosystem around you, with your customers, or even use the venues that are available to the public, such as Twitter and Facebook, to truly engage with the people, say, that you work with and that you are serving each and every day.
Marcia, your book talks about learning actually being at the heart of all of this, and you just described yourself, I'm paraphrasing here, but you sort of said you're a professional learner. That's what you do, and your book certainly talks about that. Tell us a little bit about how small and independent business owners, or do we call ourselves indies? We're indies. We're small. We're big on ideas. We're also big on success where our businesses are concerned. But in the traditional sense that, quote-unquote, businesses are considered in this country, we are not large businesses. We don't tend to have a whole lot of employees, and we really, really need to squeeze as much as we can out of every resource. And this, as your book says, requires us to really make it a point to be continually learning. Share a little bit about that.
Well, again, I don't have my experience of working with organizations of all sizes and many independent, just single people working on their own and not having anybody working for them. That's a very common occurrence with the organizations and the people I work with. I find that when they consider themselves curious learners and they add that to their description of themselves, they take on a slightly different mantra where they're listening to what's going on around them and they're thinking about ways to share that with the people around them. And that changes somewhat of the conversation they have. Rather than in the past when we thought about taking information for the purpose of selling ourselves or marketing ourselves or selling our wares or selling our products, instead, if we view that as the interesting things that are going on in our lives, then it becomes a real and authentic or honest conversation with people about how the world works, as opposed to viewing that as just one more sales initiative. I began my career running a very small jewelry business, actually, where I was importing stones from around the world, making jewelry, and selling that. I had never intended, in fact, on going into the corporate world when I did. And so much of my work involved taking what I did and being able to apply that or share that with the store owners, in my particular case, who are then going to be sharing my work. A few months ago, I received a request somebody had found on a website some of my old jewelry and had reached out 20 years later and had said, this is really interesting to me, and may I order something for my wife? And in this particular case, I thought, social media is even reaching back through history to be able to connect people around topics that matter to them, of the things that they are looking for in their lives, to add to those lives, the way they can enrich them, is more based on who they know and how they work versus having to then go seek out, oh, I need this sort of system or I need this sort of practice. It can be based on who they are, not on any sort of hierarchical or big, heavy kind of project.
And, Marcia, when you speak in terms of the outreach and the learning being based on who you are, is it fair to say that small business owners and indies, as we're talking about here, have a huge advantage when it comes to using these kinds of tools to accomplish the goals you're talking about?
Oh, I love that perspective. I love anybody who sees this as opportunity. Absolutely. I absolutely believe that small business owners and indies in this particular case have an advantage. One, because any fear they have, once they overcome it, is overcome. And there isn't the fear that there are going to be 12 other people in the organization who are going to say, oh, we can't do this for all these reasons, these roadblocks in our past. Absolutely, you have an opportunity to engage with people because you are building what you're doing one person at a time, taking that notion of a brand of me and turning that into a brand of all of us because you connect in what matters between you and not just focus on the business itself.
So you mentioned a minute ago that there is sometimes an element of, you used the word fear, I believe, associated with some of these technologies and outreach techniques that we're talking about. Share a little bit about that, and how is it that you have observed people are most successful at overcoming those fears?
Fear is the word I use. What I find is that we have for so many years in any sort of work have put ourselves behind the glass wall. We have separated ourselves from the interactions that we're having. That's another one of the advantages for indies, who are always in the mix and are always having those conversations with the people they serve, because that they are the front line. And so those fears come because you may have gotten a little rusty in how you interact with people. You may not necessarily feel comfortable of reaching out in some cases, especially say if you've worked in a large organization and you haven't had that public contact on a regular basis. And there is this overarching fear around all of social media that it is a time waster. That, and let me phrase this carefully, that talking with other people about work that matters is somehow a waste of time. What a crazy notion that is, but I hear it almost every single day. And so once we recognize that, sure, you have the capability to waste your time by focusing on areas that aren't related specifically to your business, but you can do that, frankly, with so many different areas, that if this is what's in front of you and you can't step away from it, or you can't see the big picture, or you can't stay focused on your work, yes, of course, it can be a productivity waster. But if, in fact, instead, you show it as a way to connect with people who care about the same things you do, to learn from them, to share with them, and ultimately, in this case, for them to be able to benefit from the work that you do and be able to pay you if that's their appropriate thing, or just be able to talk about how great you are to help market your work, then that fear can easily be overcome because you can focus on how they are helping you extend your network. I often joke that we have moved to an amazing point in our society where what we know is now stored in our friends' heads. And if we can take that idea of what everybody knows and how they can all be sharing that information, all of a sudden it goes from being a fear-based or productivity issue to one that we can excel and run very far and far further because of the reach so many people have.
Marcia, I love that notion of what we now know is now stored in our friends' heads. I mean, what that means, it means so many things, but one of the things that really jumps out to me, and I'd like you to comment on this, is that once what we know and what we're passionate about is transferred into the mind of another person, we have empowered them to then transfer it to someone else.
Absolutely. And there's more than even just that. It's not even just the transfer. It's the building something new. You say something, and the next person says something, and you add something to it. And together, you're creating something that didn't even exist in the world 10 minutes ago. We're constantly evolving and innovating ideas and the opportunity to be able to go forward. And that hasn't really existed in the past. What existed in the past was one idea being put forward over and over and over again. But to be able to iterate it, to be able to build on, to be able to create something new, and to be able to do that with other people who are brilliant and interesting, even if they're not brilliant, even if they're not interesting, but the idea that they can add something to the mix, all of a sudden our brain share and our potential to create amazing things just skyrockets.
And certainly because in times past, as you say, when someone had an idea, then you had to send a letter or make a phone call, and then you had to schedule a meeting, and everybody's schedules would have to be checked. And now, as you say, within a matter of hours, the idea can not only be transferred to a lot of other people, but it can even be implemented.
Absolutely. Put into practice. What a crazy and amazing idea.
We're talking with Marcia Connor. She is the co-author of the brand newly released book, The New Social Learning: A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. When we come back, we're going to talk with Marcia about taking some of the concepts that we're discussing today and translating them into two things. Number one, dealing one-on-one with our customers, and number two, dealing one-on-one with our colleagues and peers in ways that can create new business opportunities and win-win situations for everyone. This is the Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Indie Business Podcast. I'm so excited today. We're talking with Marcia Connor, the co-author of The New Social Learning, a guide to transforming organizations through social media. And Marcia has just a tremendously impressive resume of experience helping companies and industries leverage new technologies to their advantage. So we're going to talk with her and pick her brain a little bit about how we can use sort of this social learning approach to connect with our customers using these technologies. Marcia, what are some of your best tips in that area?
First, to be yourself. I'm surprised at how many individuals believe that somehow they need to put on a false face in order to go out into the public. What we have found is that if you are a good person, if you have developed a personality, if you have done some of the basic things of getting to adulthood, you have probably the skills and the know-how to be able to be yourself in front of others. It takes practice, don't get me wrong, but mention a little bit about your family if somebody has done something interesting. If you've gone someplace, talk about what you've done, who you are, the hills and valleys you have come to, as opposed to just selling your wares. People connect with that. They resonate with it. Books like Click, for example, just recently talked about the incredible importance of those emotional connections for people to want to do things with you. So one, absolutely be yourself. Two, start now. If you do not have a Twitter account or a Facebook account, or you have them and you've never used them, jump in, spend just a very short time working with them, get the in and out. So when you are ready to do more, you'll be there to be able to be with those customers, to be able to work with them. They want to be able to look back and see that you've been doing this for a little bit of time. You can't just start on a particular date. Start now, at least small. Also be able to show that you are listening and you are caring about the people you are interacting with. So you've seen something about one of your customers or an organization that you're working with, and you see something about them that you connect with. In the reverse of what I said in the first point, take that time to note that. They congratulate them on something that they've done or point out that you've had a similar experience. But to connect with people at a real level, as opposed to just viewing them as customers, view them as people that you want to work with, and they're more likely to view you as someone that they want to work with, too.
Great tips, Marcia. And, you know, when I hear people talk about these kinds of matters, sometimes I hear this. I hear people say, well, you know, is that really genuine? How do I make that genuine when everybody knows that the reason I have a Facebook page is because, you know, I of course like people, I like connecting with people, I'm passionate about the product or service that I offer, but at the end of the day, I would not have this page if I wasn't trying to invite you to be my customer. How do you help people who sort of are almost stymied by that? They can't look past that, and therefore they oftentimes just don't get started.
Wonderful question. I encourage those people to find who they know personally, who are not customers, or who may have been customers in the past, but they've developed a personal relationship with over the years. Find those people and connect with them first. Begin to see those tools as a place where you can build relationships, where you can extend how you work together, and start there. You're absolutely right that it does come across as disingenuous when people are only there for the express purpose of making a sale. But there are so many opportunities to connect with people from our our full, rich lives in those areas. Never before have we been able to find our neighbors. I live in a very small rural community, and my neighbors are on these systems, so I assure you that yours are too. But if that's a niece or a college roommate or somebody that we knew a long time ago, and you can connect and you can build that, you can start showing yourself, demonstrating to yourself that there is more here than just a transactional customer relationship. And that's so core to being authentic and actually seeing the value and seeing and using these tools for building and extending those relationships.
Marcia, those are some really good tips. I love that you shared that. And it makes me think of sort of the network marketing industry, which my listeners are not really involved in. But certainly I have, you know, sold on occasion products through network marketing as an independent consultant. And the first thing they have told me to do, and they give me a blank piece of paper with, like, lines on it, write down the names of 25 or 30 people that you have a relationship with, any kind of relationship, and those are the people that you want to start with. So this is really something that can be used in so many different ways, and we can take that tip in our own businesses and start there.
So let me back up though a minute, Don Rex. I think there's a difference here. Not to say that the 10 people you put on that blank sheet of paper on those lines could not potentially be people you could sell to, but in network marketing, that's the intent. It's that you can build relationships for sales purposes or furthering your objectives through those people in that sort of scenario, and I'm not saying that here. You could, but that's not the objective. The objective is to learn how to be yourself, to learn how to make connections, to learn to just be around and learn with those people in these environments. So that when you are doing a forward-facing, customer-facing outreach or a way to connect with people, you now have the experience and you see the larger value of this community. So again, it's not to target, market people you have a relationship with, because again, though that's not so much disingenuous, is it just crossing a fine line we have between our personal and public personas. I'm instead encouraging you to take that as a learning opportunity to practice. It's the training wheels. A friend of mine calls it dead tennis balls, so that you're actually lobbing them over and getting the sense and the feel and the seeing the value before you take this into a different stage or work with it in a different sort of way.
And is it fair to say that part of what you're saying is using the tools as a personal development vehicle?
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great. Well, that's a whole sort of different way to look at it, and I think probably for some people, one of the questions they would ask is, okay, so how much time do I invest in this? Is there, I could do this forever, right? I could personally develop myself all week long. What are some of your thoughts on, you know, timing this and using it in a way that makes it efficient and doesn't, you know, disrupt the sales process while you're also, you know, developing these skills?
I often view these tools as something you can do between the big blocks of the rest of your life. So while we could make these the big blocks, and we surely know people who are using them, you know, as a marketing vehicle, and this has taken over all the work that they do, I personally say find it, I don't use it in that particular way. I view it more as a mortar between the bricks. So when email began, for example, or even we were exposed to the internet, we had to figure out ways for time management that we would perhaps just look at our email first thing in the morning and right after lunch and then before we closed up for the day. And for those of us who did that, we found it gained productivity because we could actually see a conversation unfold. And where we could have sort of alerts for something that had to be addressed immediately could be done, there are ways that you can sort of coordinate off into the time that works for you between the other work you need to do. I personally am fairly new to the smartphone revolution. While I have had an internet address and have worked very diligently in technology for decades, I live in a rural community and didn't have need for having a smartphone everywhere I went. And I have to say, personally, I was very skeptical of the value that it would add to me. But what I found is when I'm standing in line at the post office, I can check tweets, I can respond out to other people, I can use my Facebook page as an opportunity to see what's going on and be able to connect there. In those little moments of the day, when, frankly, I do a couple stretches and I breathe and I take the time as a little bit of downside. I'm not suggesting that we cram every single moment full of additional activity. But when I'm already past that, sometimes the line at the post office is very long, I can do some of that social media work as well in those times. I'm not suggesting while you're driving. I'm big, don't suggest that at all. But be able to figure out what those little moments are when you pick up a, when you hang up one call and you go to the next one. But those are the chances to do it, as opposed to making this the work itself.
I love that. That is a wonderful analogy. It's the mortar between the bricks. So we can't lose sight of the bricks as we are mixing the ingredients that hold them together.
Yes, and the thing is that for a lot of people, they don't think that they actually have to invest any time. They believe that these are so easy, or that young people, I hear that all the time, are so up on doing this all the time that there is no need for investing in it. Well, there is some finessing it. There is some actual practice required to be able to write something meaningful in 140 characters, for example. It will take a little time. For me personally, I spent a week on Twitter, not every moment of every day by any means, but I made a practice of spending probably half an hour to 45 minutes every day for a week, and I got it by the end. And all of a sudden, I mean, it really dramatically changed how I viewed some of these technologies. There has to be some investment just to get comfortable with it, and until you are comfortable with it, you're more like the wallflower at the party, where you really don't know who to talk to or how it really works. And until you can actually be a participant, you will always appear to be on the outside of that conversation.
That's a really, really good point, that there is some experimentation involved here. And certainly that sort of brings us full circle to the title of your book, which is all about learning. And we really can't learn without experimenting with the new concepts and techniques that we're learning.
Absolutely. And so many people have posted, myself included, tips and tricks on how to do things. And no, there is no one right way. There are many ways to do many things, just like there are many ways to have conversations, be participants in parties, to be able to run a small business. There are many ways. And the more, as I said, you can be yourself and you can be an active participant from the place where you are, the more likely you will be to succeed. But most definitely, the more likely you'll feel comfortable and want to succeed.
And in our last minute or so, can you share your insights and a tip or two on using these tools to connect with our peers in ways that allow us to perhaps create joint venture arrangements or other alliances where we can connect with each other and create new business opportunities together?
Sure. First and foremost, be picky. That people are so excited, usually, for example, on Twitter, that they get so many followers, they follow everybody they can think of, and wow, that's a big mistake in my opinion. Instead, especially at the beginning, choose carefully. Look at the tweet stream, for example, of everyone you follow and determine if what they're tweeting about is something that you have time in your day to be paying attention to. There's no expectation you'll follow every single thing they write, but is it the kind of thing that you care about, or are they talking about things that make you uncomfortable or things you just don't want in your life? Please don't follow them in that case. Do it for people that you care about and you want to be learning with. So again, an authentic relationship. Put your toe into the water. Find old friends. Find family members. Find people that you can connect with from a personal perspective on places like Facebook or even on YouTube or SlideShare or other social tool-related sites where you can learn about people and see. But again, be picky and choose your time wisely. The idea here is not to get huge followership. It's to find the quality of the relationships with the people that you want to connect with. Every time somebody tells me there's just a bunch of pointless babble, I point out you alone have the ability to stop listening to the babble. For the first time ever, it's not like email, it just shows up in your desk. You can actually unfollow, you can choose to not be paying attention, and so you can very much rope off your life to be focused on the things that matter to you.
Very excellent advice, being picky and focusing on the things that matter to you. Thank you for all of these wonderful tips, Marcia. Tell us where we should go online to connect with you.
Sure. The first place is my website, MarciaConner.com. Marcia is spelled actually not like Marcia Brady, but M-A-R-C-I-A. And my website is MarciaConner.com, MarciaConner.com. I run a blog called Learnativity, and you don't have to remember the spelling of that. There's a link right from MarciaConner.com.
Great.
As well, I'm easy to find on Twitter, as I said, at M-A-R-C-I-A, M-A-R-C-I-A. And there you can find more information about where to buy the book, download an excerpt, and be able to engage in a conversation with me, I would welcome an opportunity to learn with you as well.
Thank you so much for joining us, Marcia, and sharing your tips. Marcia is the author, the co-author of The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. Fantastic to have you here today. Next week, we will welcome Lisa Barnes. She is an expert at creating and helping you host virtual events and telesummits. She's going to share with us her best tips for how you can create virtual events to welcome people into your world, share your passions, and help expand your business and your sphere of influence. That's right here next week on the Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today. You're listening to globaltalkradio.com.